Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Recently, I've been working on three unrelated projects that all coincidentally revolve around the same theme, the interaction of faith, placebos, and medical and or behavioral healing. Relative to faith, it begins with Hippocrates, sometimes considered the father of medicine, who said that faith in the patient's ability to heal the self is paramount, followed by faith in the physician, and then faith in the treatment. We currently live during a period where medical and behavioral professionals have done an excellent job of convincing the public that without them and their help, we and our animals are doomed. Simultaneously, medical and behavioral professionals come under the influence of those who manufacture and sell various treatments and other technologies, who do their darndest to convince the professionals that without their treatments, without that technology, they're nothing. The net result of this is nobody has any faith in anything except the treatment. Now, as soon as you start thinking about treatments, or as soon as I start thinking about treatments, I start thinking about the experiments that are done to prove whether or not a certain drug is, whether or not it works. And it turns out that when controlled studies are done, such that one group gets the treatment and the other group doesn't, there's always a percentage of individuals in the group that doesn't get the treatment who gets better too. Typically, those who have formulated the treatment will say that this occurs because those individuals probably were misdiagnosed, or they didn't actually have the problem, or there's something wrong with them. That's right. If you have a problem, if the animal has a problem that responds to something other than the treatment given by the expert, then the conclusion is that either the individual never had that problem to begin with, or if they did have the problem and somehow managed to heal on their own, that there is something wrong with them. This brings me to placebos. Placebos are often considered in an extremely negative light for different reasons. Do animals respond to placebos? Yes, they do. We've known that for over 100 years. Pavlov proved the existence of the placebo effect in dogs. He was a physiologist who was very interested in the digestive system. So one of the things that he would do is to give his dogs morphine, because morphine causes a guaranteed vomiting in dogs. However, what he discovered was after he did this a few times, all he had to do was walk into the room and pick up his syringe and needle and his bottle of morphine, and his dogs would vomit and pass out. And they weren't faking this. They were unconscious. More recently, we had the whole field of psychoneuroimmunology, which studies the body-mind effect. And many, many of these studies have been done on animals, too. So we know we can fool the system. We can get the immune response to start producing fewer white blood cells simply by linking a drug that does the same thing to a particular scent. And then after a while, you just phase out the drug and just use the scent to get the same effect. And we all know how potent odors are on memory. You think of the smell of something you like, your mom's apple pie, a loved one's perfume, or the scent of fresh hay, fresh straw in a clean stall, the smell of wet dog, and all kinds of memories flood back. And it's not just your brain that changes, it's your whole body as you recall those memories. If they're good memories, you relax. If they're bad memories, you tense up. Your heart rate goes up. Your blood pressure goes up. So those effects are there. The problem with placebos, reasonably, I think most people would admit that if they had the choice of being cured or had the choice of their animal being cured, using a sugar pill with no side effects versus a much more expensive drug with side effects, they would opt for the placebo. But placebos raise ethical problems because the feeling is that it violates the trust. That we pay our veterinarians, we pay our physicians based on the fact that we trust them to do what they say they're going to do. Consequently, if instead of doing that, instead of giving us that expensive treatment, they give us some fake one, then they lie to us. And that's going to do away with that trust. And I was trying to figure out how can we work around this? I mean, I appreciate the ethics of this, but surely there must be some way that those of us and our animals who fall into that group who would get better on a placebo, either because we never had the problem to begin with, or maybe, just maybe, we have it within us to heal ourselves, and all we need is a little nudge. A little nudge from out there to say you can do this. The only thing that I could come up with would be a variation on the theme of advanced directives. We have legal forms that we fill out for ourselves that say that, you know, in a situation where I'm in a vegetative state or unrelenting pain, I give this individual the right not to senselessly prolong my life. What if we had a form that we would sign for our physicians or our veterinarians that gives them the permission, based on a thorough physical examination and a thorough history? Now, there's the kicker, because that might be hard to come by. But if one were to have a veterinarian or a physician that one trusted and who did do this, then we give that individual permission to prescribe a placebo for us or our animal without telling us, because it would have to be without telling us. And you might say, well, why does it matter if my veterinarian gives me a placebo? Because I won't tell the dog. But if you know, your dog will know. That's the way the human-animal bond works. It's this placebo by proxy effect. I see it in my work often. Sometimes we are so desperate for a treatment from out there that relieves us and the animal of the responsibility for healing. And I've never seen any studies relative to this, but I'm sure there must be some out there. Sometimes the amount of healing potential we assign to a particular treatment is directly related to the cost of it. A medication that costs 5 cents a tablet can't be nearly as good as one that costs $5. And so we would give the veterinarian or the physician advanced permission to jumpstart us, to jumpstart our confidence, our faith in ourselves, and in our animals. I don't know whether it would work or not, but it can be such a powerful, powerful tool. It's a shame that we haven't been able to use it. Are we so frightened by the idea of having faith in ourselves and our animals and our role in the healing process that we won't even try at all?
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.